2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the message that you have laid upon this preacher's heart. And I pray, Lord, now as we quiet our hearts, dear God, and focus our attention to the pulpit, Lord, that you would challenge us through the Word of God. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would deal with something that's very real. And Lord, if we're not careful, something that can get into our lives, that can cause us a lot of problems in our lives. And Lord, through the preaching of your word, though, I pray especially that you would use the Bible as a sword, as you've promised, dear God, a sharp two-edged sword. And Lord, that it would pierce and divide, Lord, and do the things that it ought to in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. There's a word that you young people probably know and probably have heard your parents introduce to you by the time that you're in the fifth grade. We have young people fifth grade on up. And the word is procrastination, procrastination. And if your parents haven't introduced you to that particular word, let me help you by telling you what procrastination means. Procrastination is the art of putting things off. How many of you are artists when it comes to procrastination, all right? The art of putting things off. For instance, you've got an assignment that's due this coming Friday. Oh my, and your mom and dad said, you better work on that. Mom, it's not till Friday. I can do it when? Tomorrow. There's always tomorrow, you know. And didn't Annie sing that song? Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. You're always a day away. And so it seems like, you know, one more day. And then Monday comes. And, hey, you better work on that assignment. I can do it tomorrow. Tuesday. Tuesday's a good day. And then when Tuesday comes, Wednesday seems like a great idea. And by Wednesday, Thursday is really the best day to work on this. And all of a sudden, you wake up Friday morning, and you're in the classroom. Now, watch this. And you're asking the teacher, can you give me one more day? Could you just give me till Monday? Now, why are you asking for an extra day? Watch this. You're asking for an extra day because you procrastinated for an entire week. And so this matter of putting things off, there's not a person in here that can't relate to this. There's not a person in here that at times is not guilty of this, including this preacher here. There's been much written about the subject of procrastination. Dennis Waitley wrote this, time is an equal opportunity employer. Each human being has exactly the same number of hours and minutes every day. Rich people can't buy more hours. Scientists can't invent new minutes. And you can't save time to spend it on another day. I like this. Even so, time is amazingly fair and forgiving. No matter how much time you've wasted in the past, God still gives you an entire day tomorrow. How about that? Isn't God good to us? Abraham Lincoln said this, you cannot escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today. Abraham Lincoln, very wise man. One preacher, I read this story, preached an entire message that he entitled thus. This was the title to his message. Someday is not a day of the week. Someday is not a day of the week. I like that. Another man said procrastination is opportunity's natural assassin. And then I read this little poem by some aspiring poet, unknown poet. Procrastination is my sin. It brings me naught but sorrow. I know that I should stop it. In fact, I will. Tomorrow, there you go. Dale Carnegie wrote in his book, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, the best possible way to prepare for tomorrow is to concentrate with all your intelligence, all your enthusiasm, all your energy on doing today's work today. That is the only possible way you can prepare for the future. I like this. Teenager told me this, one of the funniest moments I've ever had in a conversation with a teenager. She said this, my mother always told me I wouldn't amount to anything because I procrastinate. But I told her, just wait. Doesn't that sound like a teenager? Picasso, the famous artist said this, only put off until tomorrow. Boy, this is getting serious. Think about this. Only put off until tomorrow what you are willing to die having left undone. What you are willing to die having left undone. How many of you know who Michael Landon was? He starred in 3 TV series. I can't believe I'm going to do TV trivia right here. 3 TV series. What's one of them? I don't know. No? Everybody's saying no. Okay. Little House on the Prairie. Highway to Heaven. Bonanza. That's the one I figured you'd forget. Little Joe and Bonanza, okay? I don't know if the Lord just blessed that or not, but I just did it anyway. By the way, Michael Landon, I'm 53 years of age. I'll be 54 in August. Michael Landon, for all of his fame, for all of the money that he made in life, died at 54 years of age. And he died of pancreatic cancer and discovered it while he was vacationing with a little pain in his side and just literally within months was gone. And at 54 years of age, and I know y'all in the front row think, well, he lived an old to an old man, but I promise you that's a short life. And he was very famous. Matter of fact, here's another. I read this stuff and it gets in my brain when I'm doing my research. So he appeared on the front cover. Young people don't even know what TV Guide is, do they? You all know what the TV Guide was. All right. He appeared on the front cover of the TV Guide 22 different times. There's only one other person that appeared on the cover more than him. Anybody want to give a guess on what that is? No? John Wayne, no. Lucille Ball. Now think about what you learn when you come to church here. The longer I'm in this introduction, the spiritual level just keeps going lower and lower and lower. But the TV Guide. So now I want to read what he, by the way, near the end of his life, Michael Landon, all his fame, all his fortune, and someone who I believe, and I've read this, and according to his own testimony, I think was a born-again believer. But still, I want you to listen to his words. Somebody should tell us right at the start of our lives that we are dying. Then we might live life to the limit every minute of every day. Do it, I say. Whatever you should do, do it now. There are only so many tomorrows. Which made me think of this. I read this and wrote it down. On a gravestone in San Diego, California, on a gravestone, the back of a gravestone, somebody had chiseled in granite. Now, isn't this sad? While I was killing time, I failed to realize that time was killing me. While I was killing time, I failed to realize that time was killing me. You know what, folks? We're all going to be guilty of putting some things off, but the Bible stands up and shouts warning, and we're going to look at it today, that there are some things. Listen, you can get by with putting some things off, but the Bible says there's some things you should never put off. And we're going to look at those today. What did we read in our opening verse here? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Number one, never put off the opportunity to be saved. If God gives you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior, you ought to do it that very day. My dad gave testimony to the fact that he attended the Rock Run Baptist Church for some time before he got saved. And I know that there is a process that when you begin to attend church where you're learning and the Holy Spirit's working on you and preparing you for salvation. But he said that when he entered into the revival meeting that he finally got saved in, he was under conviction from the very first night. And the conviction began to grow night by night. And finally, you know what he kept doing? He kept doing what a lot of people do. On Monday night, he said, I'll get saved Tuesday night. On Tuesday night, I'll get saved Wednesday night. He came back Wednesday. I got saved Thursday. By the way, thank God that God was merciful. Thank God for his grace. Came down to the last night of revival meeting. I guarantee you what the devil was saying on sitting on his shoulders was this. You can do it Sunday. You can do it Sunday. But you know what? Thank God my dad, when it came to Friday night, closed his book, dropped it on the pew, walked to the nearest aisle, came forward and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. You know, God's been merciful to most of us. Most of us didn't get saved the first time we could have gotten saved. We didn't even get saved the first time we should have gotten saved. But God's been merciful. By the way, everybody here that's saved would look at you if you're not saved today and they'd give you this piece of advice. Don't put it off. Do it today. You see, there's a danger when we begin to ignore the working of God in our life when it comes to this matter of salvation. In Hebrews, three different times, God warns us that delay results in a hardening. Now, stay with me here. Watch this, young people, because I'm going to help you with something. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Hebrews 4:7, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, let me explain something to you that you need to know, and this is good for people that may not be Christians and people that are Christians. Every time God deals with your heart about something, and every time he asks you to do something, every single time you delay, every time you say no, every time you say not today, watch this, every single time you don't do what you should do, your heart gets a little harder. It gets a little harder. And so somebody that doesn't get saved the first time, well, I'll just do it later. Whether you realize it or not, there's a little bit of a hardness that comes to your heart. By the way, young people, I'm going to teach you. That's why you ought to learn to obey mom and dad the first time they tell you to do something. Well, you know what? A lot of times you see kids that are just wild, and I mean they're crazy, and they're out of control, and they're in trouble, and I mean in trouble with the law. Let me tell you when it started. It started when they were little kids, and they began to look at their mom and dad and begin to disobey them and think that they could say to authority, I'm going to do what I want to do. Every time you do that, you harden your heart a little bit towards your parents. And every time you do that, you harden your heart a little bit towards God when God speaks to your heart. You know what the Bible says here? Listen, if you have said no to the Lord in the past about salvation, and folks, listen to me. I'm going to give a gospel invitation in a little while. You're going to have a chance once again to be saved. Here's the danger. If you choose not to do it, whether you realize it or not, the next time you hear the gospel, you'll be a little bit harder. That's why it's so easy a lot of times for children to be saved, because they haven't had a lifetime of hardening their heart, and they become an adult and they've said no to God so many times that it's just easy to say no. Listen, I don't care if you're 7 or 75. Last Sunday morning, we had a little girl saved that was 12 and a lady that was saved 75 years of age. Praise the Lord. What I'm saying is, I don't care how old you are or where you are in life, if the Holy Spirit of God comes to you today and convicts your heart and says, hey, you need to be saved, do it today. Don't put it off. You know why? Because delay results in hardness. Let me tell you something else. Delay can result in death. It can result in death. I want to tell this story because it's fascinating. If you were here last Sunday morning and you weren't here last Sunday night, you don't know what happened, what happened Sunday morning. But there was a young lady that sat here on the aisle about halfway down, about where Brother Ali is right there. And during the morning preaching service, we had our three teenagers preach. That girl came under conviction of God. She knew that she was lost. She knew she needed to be saved. But you know what? She didn't come forward. She went out and got on the bus. She drove the bus to her house. She got out of the bus. She had driven her car. She's got her driver license. She's a teenager, but has her driver's license. She'd driven her car to this home to meet the bus. And she started to get in her car. And you know what? She couldn't get in that car and turn the key and go home. You know why? Because she was under conviction of sin. She was scared to get behind the wheel of that car. And let me tell you something. This is a wise young lady. Let me just stop and say this. I don't know a whole lot about her, but that's a wise decision. She was scared to death to get behind the wheel of that car and try to drive home because she was thinking this. If I die in a wreck on the way home, knowing the gospel, knowing that I needed to be saved, but not making that decision, I'm going to wake up in a devil's hell. And you know what she did? She went into that house, had somebody call the bus captain. Bus captain's wife drove back over to the house, sat down, and led that young lady to the Lord. By the way, after that, she didn't have any trouble getting behind the wheel of her car, starting it up, because you know what? She was ready for heaven. Now, what I'm saying is this, folks, listen to me. I'm not going to tell you a dozen stories, but I could, of people that put off salvation and ended up before they had another opportunity to be saved. That was, you know, you don't know if you're lost here, that this could be the last chance you have, the last opportunity you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Walk through any cemetery, young person. Look at the tombstones. Look at the numbers between the dash. And you're going to find out that it's just not old people in their 70s and 80s and 90s that are buried in cemeteries, that children are buried in cemeteries, and preteens are buried in cemeteries, junior high-age kids are buried in cemeteries, and high school-age kids are buried in cemeteries, and college, what I'm saying is we don't know. We don't know. And you know what? The devil's very, very good at this one thing. He is the deceiver. He will come to you and he will say to you, listen, I'm not saying don't get saved. You probably ought to. Just don't do it when? Today. And if he can get you to put it off for one more day, he's got you one more day closer to a devil's hell. So first of all, we want to encourage you. There's three things you should never put off. The first one is this matter of salvation. Number two, go if you will to Proverbs chapter number 3. I want to show you this, and I want you to look at the scripture back. If you'll find it about in the middle of your Bible, the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, the next book to the right of that is Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse number 27. I want you to see this. There's another thing that we should never put off. If we have the opportunity to do it, we should take that opportunity according to God's holy word. Say, preacher, what else did God include in the Bible as a warning against us in this matter of procrastination? Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 27. Watch this. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Number one, never put off the opportunity to be saved. Number two, let me help you with this. Never put off an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody. Now the Bible says there's going to be times in your life when somebody's going to come to you and they're going to have a genuine need. And you know what? The Bible says it is in the power of your hand to do it. Now, how many of you have sometimes had somebody come to you and tell you about a need and you were powerless to help them? You could not help them. I've been there before. Sometimes it's not in the power of our hand to help them. Sometimes it's something that maybe only God can help them with. Maybe it's a financial situation that there's no way that you could help them with because you just don't have the resources. And God's not saying to you to do something. He's saying this. There are going to be times, though, when God brings people across your path, and you know what? It's going to be in the power. I like that little phrase there, in the power of thine hand to do it. The Bible says, don't withhold good from them. And I believe every single time this week, now I want you to kind of just set a goal. I want you to say, you know what? This isn't just a sermon that I kind of daydreamed through. This is something that I'm going to learn something for, and I'm going to put it in practice this week. I want you to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading in your life concerning people that cross your path this very week that have a need and you have the resources or the opportunity to meet that need. I'm going to ask you to do that, to do that. You say, preacher, are you talking about money because I'm broke? You know, that's a lot of times what we think of here. But you know what? People have needs that don't always involve money. You say, preacher, what is in the power of my hand that I have that I can help people with? Watch this. How about the power of a good word? How about the power of a good word? Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you know what? A lot of times somebody comes to you and they don't have a financial need, a financial burden. You know what they need? Encouragement. You know what they need? They're going through a tough time. You know what they're looking for? Somebody that cares. Somebody that'll just take a minute and listen. Somebody that'll be there with just a word of encouragement. Hey, if it's in the power of your hand and you have the opportunity, then give that word of encouragement. I don't know if you've noticed this. Come on, young people. By the way, I pray for those of you that go to public school. I mean, public school. I was all the way through 10th grade in a public school, all right? Public school is not an easy place to go for a lot of our young people every day of their life. Now, let's look right up here and let me help these kids a minute.
You know, it's sad that the kids are so mean. It's sad that people just seem like they're bent on being cruel. And you know what? I'm sorry to say this, but that's almost the norm. You go to somebody and you expose a weakness or try to seek a little encouragement. You know what you get a lot of times? You get put down, you get laughed, you may get made fun of. There's young people that climb on a bus. I'm telling you right now, sitting in this room, there's kids that are dreading having to get on the bus tomorrow morning. And I wish the world wasn't like that. That's not right that young people have to be treated that way. Now, young people, watch this. I can't change the world. I wish I could. But you know what? You can make a difference. You can be different. Come on now. You can be different. You see, somebody sooner or later is going to come to you because they're going to figure out you go to church. And they're going to come to you with a problem. And you know what? You have life or death in your power. That's what the Bible. Now, that's awesome. You got the opportunity to give and breathe into that person encouragement and life, or you got an opportunity to devastate them. And by the way, don't think that words have not ended people's lives. I want you to think, those of you that have cell phones, and again, I wish I could get cell phones out of the hand of every young person in this room. I really mean that. But I want you to stop before you take your thumb and hit send. Come on now, every one of you, and this is good for adults too. Before you type something in a moment of anger and you're getting ready to hit send on something, why don't you stop and take a look at those words? The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. I'm going to tell you the way it is with technology. Death and life is in the power of the thumb. Because that's how we're sending our words now. Stop a minute. Hey, stop a minute. Is this going to breathe life? Is this going to bring encouragement? Does this even need to be said? You know, well, but they said this. Okay. Doesn't somebody have to be strong enough and right enough and good enough and decent enough to not return evil for evil? You know, some people, I get it. They just spend their life trying to pick a fight. They, you know what? Here's a good thing to send back. God bless you. Praying for you. Thanks for the encouragement. Praying for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Boom! Come on now. What I'm saying is this. Listen, don't get drugged down to their level. Watch this. Somebody cusses you. You know what? Honestly, the natural human part of every one of us wants to throw some mean, hateful words. I mean, we want to return curse for curse. And you know what? God says, don't live that way. We're Christians. We do it different. And what I'm saying is this. Some people are going to come to you. It's in the power of your hand to do good. It's in the power of your tongue to encourage. Do it. How about this? Not only do you use your words, but listen, as an opportunity to be a blessing, the power of a good word. How about the power of a good deed? Jesus said this, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, listen, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, watch this, because I'm gonna help you with something. I think after a message like this, God loves to test us. Somewhere across your path this week can be somebody that's going to, listen, God's going to bring somebody that you could do good for, that you could do a favor for, that you could be a blessing to, that you could be a help to. Amen. I tried to get hold of James. Me and him was playing phone tag. He left a message with my wife and said, preacher keeps trying to call me, and I know he's trying to get a hold of me, but we're over here trying to help a couple, an elderly couple move. And I thought to myself, amen. You know, this, folks, listen, but I'm too busy. Well, if we're too busy to ever stop and help anybody, then we are too busy. And you know what I found out in life? You know what? If you lose an hour here or a half hour there, or even in this week, sometime you lose a half a day to be a blessing. Guess what? Life still goes on, and life is better lived that way than it is worrying about me all the time. Look for an opportunity. Hey, young people, take this to school with you. Who can you be a blessing to? Who can you do something nice for? Who can you help along life's path? All right, help them out. The power of a good word, the power of a good deed, the power of a good gift. And there are times when we have resources. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brother, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. And folks, listen to me. Part of the Christian life is to be a giver. Now look right up here. I'm going to help you. Every one of you young people, focus in on me right now, okay? Listen to me. You're going to have to make a decision in life. You're either going to grow up in this life, and you're going to spend your life being a taker, or you're going to spend your life being a giver. When you're young in life, if you're not, I mean, listen, this is part of something you got to grow up out of. I promise you, if you go back there and spend 5 minutes in the nursery, you'll find two little two-year-olds that are fighting over the same toy. We learn it early in life. It's about me and what I want, and what I want, and what I want. Wait a minute. What I'm telling you is this. If God has blessed you, and he's given you extra of anything in life, and somebody comes along that has a need, and you just say, well, God bless you, and walk off and don't help meet that need, God says, you know what? You can talk about your faith all you want, but faith without works is dead. And what I'm saying is this. God says this, man, don't procrastinate on some things. Don't put them off. And you know what? This whole idea of I'll help them next time. Don't put it off. If God's dealing with your heart about salvation, get saved today. This week, if you have an opportunity to be a blessing, do it that day. Don't just stop what you're doing and do it. And God will bless you. You'll get that back. The last thing I want to cover on this three things you should not put off. Number three, never put off an opportunity to share the gospel. Now let me have you go to John chapter number 4, and I'll show you that this is in the Bible. John chapter number 4, Jesus has been on a journey. He's been walking for some time. He sits down. He's tired. He sits down at a place called Jacob's Well. I want you to picture it. He sits there on the side of a well. He's catching his breath, and he's thirsty, and a lady comes, who is lost. A lady comes who has not trusted him as Savior. And most of chapter number 4 is Jesus talking to this lady and introducing himself to her and pointing her to eternal life. And the disciples, they're gone looking for food. And when they come back in John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now here's what he says. Look at verse 35. Say not ye that there are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now, I think the disciples were really confused. They come back. Jesus is tired. He sits down on the well. He's going to rest. The disciples said, we'll go find some food. You stay here, Savior, and we'll be back. A lady comes along, and he starts talking to her about living water and salvation. He witnesses to her. She gets saved. She goes back to the village, tells all the people who she met. The whole city comes out. A number of them get saved. The disciples don't know any of this is going on. They come back. They bring food. And they say, here, Savior, here's meat. And he said, I've got meat. I've got meat to do. And you know what he was saying? He was saying, the will of God is what I live to do. The will of God is what I live for. The will of God is what keeps me going. And he had just had an opportunity to win a lady to the Lord with a sinful background, but she got saved and have influence on a city. And you know what? They're worried about human food. And Jesus said, listen, all of a sudden, he starts talking about the harvest. And he says this, look at it again, if you will, in chapter 4 there. He says in verse 35, say not ye there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And I think the disciples are confused here. Okay, we went to get food. He was hungry. Now he's talking about he's already had meat. Now he's telling us to look up on the fields. And what he was talking about was this, folks, the harvest The harvest that Jesus is talking about is the harvest of lost souls. I love this encounter that Jesus had. He was traveling along. He sits down at a well. He's thirsty. And here comes somebody. He starts talking to him about eternal things. Now, again, watch this. It's going to happen to you this week. I'm not talking about soul winning visitation. That's good. I'd lock into one of the opportunities around here if I was you. I'm not talking about bus workers just on bus visitation. I'm talking about Jesus traveling from point A to point B, sits down on the edge of a well. Here comes a woman up, and he starts talking to her about heaven and eternity and living water and salvation and forgiveness of sin. And next thing you know, she gets saved. Hey, listen, never pass up an opportunity. Jesus said, you got to be careful because you'll start saying this. There's 4 months to harvest. There's plenty of time to get the crop in. Folks, I don't know if you're seeing what I'm seeing, but this world's going to hell in a handbasket, and Jesus is coming back very soon. And if we're going to get people saved, we better get after it. We better get after it. How many of you have family members? Come on. I do. Preacher, I've got some family members that are lost. They're not ready for heaven. They are not saved. How many say, preacher, I've got some friends that are lost. Well, when are you going to witness to them? 4 months from now? 5 months from now? You know what the devil always tell you? You can talk to them next week. Oh, it's awkward now. We'll try to find a better time. You might scare them away. I mean, you can put your hands down. At some point, you know what? You know what you just need to say? Today's a good day. Folks, it's never a bad day to go talk to somebody about Jesus. And if you'll be sensitive to who the Lord brings across your path each and every day, I will tell you this, many, many times the Lord will give you influence. Oh, preacher, you're talking about when I get to be an adult. No, I'm talking to you young people. Hey, there's gospel tracts back there. As you're getting ready to walk out the two glass doors, there's a little rack over here on your right-hand side. It's got little papers in there that tell people how to be saved. Hey, what's wrong with you taking some of those to school with you? Say, preacher, we can just take them. Just take them. Now, don't take 100 of them and then waste them. Don't leave them laying on your dresser. Don't make sure they don't end up in a trash somewhere. But why don't you take 2 or 3 this week? Just take 2 or 3. There's some of the cards that we have back there that, you know what, you can use. And on the back of the card that tells about our church, it's got the plan of salvation. Hey, why not? Why not take 1 or 2 of those? Why not just carry them with you? At lunchtime, why don't you just reach over across to somebody that you eat lunch with and say, hey, here's a little track that'll tell you how you can go to heaven one of these days. I started going to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and I got saved there, and I'm going to tell you something, God's making a difference in my life. I love you, I'm praying for you, and I want you to have the same thing I've got, and I'd like you to read this. You know what? You just don't know who God's got in store for you to talk to this week. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. 3 things we shouldn't put off. 3 things we shouldn't put off. If you're here today without Jesus as your Savior, don't put it off. Don't put it off. I talked about my daddy being in church but not saved. Young people, listen to me. Older folks, listen to me. Adults, listen to me. I went to church for many times I went to church, lost. I know what it's like to walk into a church and be lost. I know what it is to walk into a church and hear the preacher preach. I know what it is to walk into a church and be convicted. I know what it is to sit out there knowing that I ought to be saved. I know all those things. I've been there. I want you to know what you're feeling right now, if you're lost and you've never been saved, what you're feeling in your heart, and with God, with what God's doing in your heart, everybody in this room that is saved, we've been there. By the way, we're praying for you. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not 100% sure that I'd go to heaven. I just don't know. If you don't know 100% sure that you're saved, I would love for you to come forward. I talked about my dad during the invitation song, leaving his pew and going to the nearest aisle, walking to the front. You know what? There are men up here that are here to greet you. If you're a young lady, they'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a lady, they'll get a lady to take the Bible. If you're a man or a young man, they'll get one of our men to sit with you and kneel with you and take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd like you to be saved. I'd like you to be saved. I'm gonna ask if I could pray for you. Say, preacher, if I died right now, I am not sure that I'm ready for heaven. I am not sure that I'm saved. But God is speaking to my heart about it. And preacher, I would like you to pray for me that I'd make the right decision this morning. Preacher, I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand real quick? I'm not saved. Please pray for me. I see your hand. God bless you. And another. I see another. And another. And another. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Preacher, I'm not saved. But God is speaking to my heart. Let me just give you the best advice I can give you. Here's what the Bible says. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If the Lord's speaking to your heart about being saved, in just a minute, we're going to stand to our feet. We'll have our heads bowed, our eyes closed, and the piano will begin to play. If you'll just make your way to the nearest aisle, just say excuse me to the person next to you and come to the nearest aisle. Walk down here. We'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved today. You won't be alone. Several people raised their hand. We'd love for you to come and be saved. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for these that just raised their hand. Give them the courage, dear God, to make the decision now, today, to be saved. We pray in Jesus' name.